Here's Higdon, it sits up nicely for Michael Higdon! And what a start for Motherwell! But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Sutton! Magnificent Malt! Stephen Robinson celebrates! Motherwell, 2-1! Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr and Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. We've got three games to catch up on today, and myself and Scott will go over all of them. Scott, welcome along.
Hi, thanks for having us, Andy.
Well, this will be a wee bit of a shorter edition, and I know I quite often promise that and it doesn't happen, but we're sitting here in Christmas. We did plan to record after last night's game against Aberdeen, a 0-0 draw in that one. Prior to that, there was disappointment, a home defeat against St Mirren. An away defeat against Rangers. Pippi, we did say that this was going to be an important run. I think we viewed the St Mirren game as a really good opportunity to take 3 points and kind of consolidate ourselves. We're still sitting in the top six. That's definitely a positive thing. But many people will point out the fact that we've been handed 6 points due to the breaches of protocols by other sides. If it wasn't for those 6 points, we'd be sitting second bottom, albeit with a couple of games in hand. Let's talk about the Aberdeen game first of all. We'll try and deal with each game in isolation. Last night, I think it was a more positive outcome, certainly. The performance was pretty good as well. We were well organised, we were disciplined. And I think notwithstanding the first half an hour where Aberdeen had a few chances, a good save from Jordan Archer, a bit of fortune with Curtis Main's header coming off the crossbar, I think we were the better side. I think we created a few chances. Liam Polworth towards the end, quite unfortunate to see his goal-bound effort strike Andrew Considine. I kind of felt following that match that it was a good point. I think you take a point when you come up against Aberdeen, and it gives us a good foundation to look towards Boxing Day and a trip to Tannadice. And then the meeting with Kilmarnock on the 29th or the 30th of this month.
I certainly agree with you. It was a kind of improved performance. It wasn't the most entertaining game, but it seems to be the only real consistent thing. We don't really seem to have that chance after chance after chance. As you said, obviously, the main chance being, when I was up off my seat, thought that Polworth had scored. But it was just unfortunate, and also as well at the end there, it was a really good save for Joe Lewis when Tony Watt was at the tight angle. Tony Watt done well to get the shot away, and I think the management, I think it was Keith Lasley after the game, and said that it's thin margins, and in another day we could have sneaked a result. Would we have been happy with it? Obviously we would have been happy whether we deserved it or not, I don't know. However, I actually sent you a message last night saying that Jock Brown, I've been nothing but complimentary to him. However, I couldn't quite get where he was coming from. He was saying that Aberdeen will probably go in with a far better team in the second half. In the second half, I don't actually remember them threatening at all. I don't remember Cosgrove's name getting mentioned too much. Same with Curtis Main. They had a spell in the first half where they looked dangerous, but other than that, I don't remember them me sitting thinking, oh, we're really holding on here at all. When you flip it on the other side and you listen to the Rangers commentary the week before, where all that was missing for the Rangers commentary was them singing the Billy Boys, but it was I really couldn't see it at all. The game was really just what I was really pleased about, and Keith Lasley intimated this in his post match. I thought the defence as a unit played really, really well. I know there was a bit of kind of a working on social media that everybody was surprised by the sponsors, Pye Sports, saying that, that Liam Polworth was their man of the match. For me, my man of the match was Liam Grimshaw. Another player that's been under a bit of criticism has been Ricky Lamy. I thought he looked, don't think he looked fantastic, but he looked more assured. And I'll go back to Jock Brown again. He actually said that he thinks he's struggling at left back because he doesn't have the pace. And I think Ricky Lamy playing as part of a three with Gallagher and O'Hara makes it that much, bit more settled. I liked O'Hara being able to get on the ball and run out with it and then pick out the pass. Whereas in the past, when I'll use Mugabe, it's just been kind of a trying to pick out the World Cup pass and maybe taking an extra touch where O'Hara's that wee bit more composed. So overall, there wasn't too many negatives other than that it's not creating too much. But I think that will come. Another positive I'll say is I thought Devante Cole looked brilliant when he came on. And again, last week I said that I wasn't too happy with us continually playing this three with Lang, Long. I thought that last night we had a bit more central, particularly when Cole came on. He was running right at the heart of the defence. So I definitely think there's more positives to take than negatives. Considering when you look at the previous two performances, which I'm sure we'll get into later.
Yeah, there's no getting away from the fact it wasn't a particularly good game of football. Though I think on the back of a really disappointing result in the Cup against St Johnstone, that was followed up by defeat against St Mirren. You've then got the defeat at Ibrox, which, to be fair, was completely expected. Of course, before that as well, there was a defeat against Hibs. So we're in a really poor run of form. We're still without a league winning six. That last victory coming at Livingston on Halloween. So we're not in any sort of form. So I think that the encouragement for me was an organised, disciplined display where we could quite easily hold our heads up high and say we deserve to get that point and now we can move on. You mentioned Devante Cole and I think that's quite an interesting one. Keith Lasley confirmed following the match that Callum Lang will be going back to Wigan, who are struggling in League One this season. That's a difficult situation for Stephen Robinson to have to contend with. Chris Long has been ruled out through injury as well. I would have liked to see Devante Cole starting, and this is a case as well with Barry Maguire and Robbie Crawford, who I think are quite similar types of players. And I would tend to then go with, let's play the player that belongs to us and try and develop them rather than developing someone else's player. I know there'll be times where you get a lone player in that's far better than what you've got, and for that reason alone, you're going to play them. But I don't think there's a great deal of difference between Maguire and Crawford, and I don't think there's a great deal of difference between Lang and Cole. In fact, I think that when Cole gets up and running, he's going to be a real asset to this team. Now, again, I will play devil's advocate with myself here and say that obviously Callum Lang nipped in at the back post to get the goal against Rangers only 4 days earlier, so maybe that was in the manager's mind as well. But I think that Devante showed in his 20 minutes or so on the park that he's going to be a very useful addition to our squad. And I would think, or I would like to think anyway, that he would be up to speed by now as well, fitness-wise. He's been in for a couple of months. I know he didn't have a pre-season, but it was quite different for everyone. It took even the players that did have that, albeit shortened pre-season, it took them a wee bit of time to get up and running as well. So I think by now, Devante should be pretty much where he needs to be. And in that case, I would like to see him starting from Boxing Day onwards, because you've only got two more games with Callum Lang. Even if that, I don't know whether it's the case that the loan can be terminated straight away. Scott Burns on Twitter seemed to suggest that it's going to be the case that he'll be about until after the Kilmarnock game. But until that's confirmed, I would like to see Devante starting and perhaps Callum Lang be kind of phased out the team, because he's not going to be our player come 2021.
I totally agree. However, what I'll say is that I think Robinson is quite a loyal and trusting manager. I think that comes across for players that have spoken to people that actually know that have worked with Steve Robinson. I've said that he's a real loyal guy. An example probably would be Mark Gillespie, when it was pretty clear that Gillespie was going to be leaving the club, and there was a kind of a shout, and I'll include myself in this, to say, I remember going up to Dundee and being disappointed to find out that Trevor Carson wasn't back in the goal. And I think that's just Robinson's way, which has got to be admired. But I think if I say Callum Lang's time, if he's been here, he's been a bit stop-start. The criticism that I have, he's got so much energy, and that's a good thing. However, sometimes I'm always concerned that he's going to get sent off, and where he's going to pick up that silly booking, where he's going to be treading in eggshells. So for me, I totally agree with you with regards to going forward. It doesn't look as if there's going to be any way that they were going to get him back. So we need to play with what we've got. He could be on the bench. What I would say is, I was quite surprised that Jake Hastie didn't feature. The reason being, he has been under a fair bit of criticism, but if you listened to Robinson's post-match against St Mirren, he said one of the bright sparks was Jake Hastie, and he has been quite critical of, maybe not his character as such, but his kind of a fitness levels, and I suppose that takes it down to he came to the club in bad shape. So for me, that is something that the club had to address. I did think he looked quite lively. He looked like the old Jake Casey. He was bombing down. He was getting on the ball. He obviously didn't do enough to change the game. But as you say, you're looking at a long-term plan, and likelihood, unless the club have got aspirations to send him back to Rangers and us terminating his loan, I thought it would have been better bringing him on at some stage. Even probably more preferable than Jordan White. I understand why he did Jordan White the other day, because there was a free kick coming in, big guy in the box. I never got to see that free kick because my stream paused right enough. So I would really hope that Devante Cole and Tony Watt start as the front two. And if there was going to be a change of the front two, then we're looking at somebody's going to be there. It's interesting as well that you mentioned Maguire and Crawford. Again, it's the old adage with the loan signing. I don't know what his contract status is, or if Robinson's got aspirations to sign him permanently. Listen, Robbie Crawford's not done anything wrong in my book, right? I think he's done all right. But that's it. He's done all right. Whereas I think Maguire's done exactly the same. He's not been any worse or any better. If anything, I would say there's a couple of things with Maguire's. Was it St Mirren nearly? He hit one for quite far out. I would probably prefer to see Barry Maguire in there as well. That may be slightly harsh on Robbie Crawford, because he hasn't really done anything wrong. He is full of energy, but I just don't think that he's just not the type of player that excites me. And I don't really see what he brings. He's not like a kind of Andy Rose type player. He's not a box to box. He just does what's asked of him, kind of quite quietly, sprays the ball. He doesn't lose the ball much, wins it back, plays it to the. Just the one of the. He's not an exciting player. So everything you say, I totally 100% agree with. But I still think that we'll find and see that Callum Lang will feature right until he's out the door.
Another one with Crawford, I guess, is that Livingston now a new manager at the helm. He might want to have a look at Robbie Crawford and see what he can offer. It's a strange scenario, really, having a player on loan from Livingston in the first place. It's pretty much unheard of. I'm sure it is unheard of. You would expect it to be the other way around, and maybe it has been historically. But yeah, I don't think he's. I just think he's an unremarkable player, Robbie Crawford. I can see that he's kind of tidy enough in the ball, and I think his tackling ability isn't great, but I think that he offers us an option, certainly. But I would say that Barry Maguire is a better option. And given that Barry Maguire only got another year, he's a player that seems to have been on the brink for so many years, Barry Maguire, that it's now kind of at the tipping point where it's going to go one way or another. And hopefully it goes in his favour and they can kick on and become a first-team regular. But the opportunities that he's been afforded in the past, he'll kind of come in for two or three games, maybe do really well in the first game, all right in the second game, and then make a few errors in the third and be dropped, or someone will come back to fitness and replace him. And then after that, you don't see him again for another 3 or 4 months. So it must be very difficult for a young guy to establish any sort of momentum in the team when that is the circumstances of how he's getting his chances. It just never has seemed to be a first pick for Stephen Robinson. And I think that you're maybe getting to the point with Barry Maguire where if he's not going to get his chance now, then I don't think it would be a stretch for me to say that he's never going to get his chance. Just a final one on the Aberdeen game, and another positive. First clean sheet for Jordan Archer, Pepe.
I've quite liked Jordan Archer. Certainly, if you compare what we've got with Chapman, he's definitely looks a decent keeper. He's played at quite a high level. For me, he's not made any howlers. I seen there was a wee bit of criticism for him for the goals at Ibrox. Me personally, I don't think that there's anything he could have done. So I'm happy for him. I think I actually really like him. The unfortunate thing though, Andy, is that my understanding is that his contract's out in January and Chapman's here at the end of the season. And I just don't think that Chapman's suited to play at this level. So whether or not they can come to an agreement, I would rather I'm being positive in relation to Archer, but what I will say is that I feel that as soon as Carson's back fit, then Carson takes a jersey. I don't think there's any, as soon as he's fully fit, he comes straight back in. But I don't know what will happen. We've got quite a wee bit of business to do in January. We've just spoke about Callum Lang. There's obviously the Stephen O'Donnell situation. There is the Jordan Archer situation, which is going to be a difficult one, whether he'll come on to a month-to-month contract, because we've got Scott Fox, we've got literally going to have four keepers all coming back to fitness at the one time. There's the Jake Hasty issue. So there's a lot to over this festive, after we get into the new year. I read yesterday that there is a signing almost over the line. It'll be interesting to see where that goes. And just while ago, and it was interesting to look at the bench last night. Now, I don't know what the injury situation was. You've confirmed that Long is obviously going to be out pretty well injured. But there was no Nathan McGinley. There was no Sherman Seedorf. So I don't know what the situation was there, whether or not there's potential that
Seedorf these guys... on the bench last night.
Oh, was he? I thought I'd check. He wasn't. Well, McGinley certainly wasn't, because I checked that. I thought that. Look, they must just have missed his name. But for me, the way when Seedorf's come on, he's come back from his injury, he's been useless. He's back to the old Sherman Seedorf, whereas at the start of the season he was coming on. Guys like that, the ones that I'd potentially be looking at moving on in the January window and bringing a bit of freshness to the squad.
Yeah, I think that's, you said we've got a bit of business to do. I think we've possibly got a bit of business to do in terms of it's what Stephen Robinson referred to as wheeling and dealing, because I think we're going to need to get bodies out to bring new faces in. I think another thing to be positive about is the fact that Jake Carroll was a substitute yesterday as well. You've got a few players now that are coming back to fitness. Trevor Carson, Jake Carroll, the two most notable ones. I'm not going to go as far as say they'll be like new signings, but they'll certainly be a big boost to our squad depth. If Jordan Archer goes out, you've still got Aaron Chapman as a backup. Scott Fox, I think he's going to be a bit later on in the season before he's going to come back into the reckoning. Charles Dunn, it would be nice to get an update as to where he is in terms of his fitness. Stephen O'Donnell, you would have to think that given the current climate, and the uncertainty, English football had that kind of brief spell where fans were allowed back in the stadiums. Now, very few clubs are allowed supporters in again. Is the financial landscape kind of steady enough to mean that Stephen O'Donnell's got a move to England that's worthwhile? I don't know. I don't even think that...
It's just like Stephen O'Donnell is, Andy, though. Andy, you've got to remember that Stephen O'Donnell, I think, has played well. I don't think he's been absolutely brilliant, that he's the best right back that I've ever seen at Firth Park, but he's certainly steady. He's made an improvement to the side. But what he's got to think about is it's not just gambling 6 months of his career to try and get a move down south. He's gambling his place in the Euro squad. I've got absolutely no doubt if he continues playing the way that he's been playing, and relatively consistent 7 out of 10 throughout from now to the end of the season, then Steve Clark, as I've already said about Robbo, is loyal and he likes this squad of players that he's got, and O'Donnell is firmly part of that. Now, if he ends up going down to, for example, a Sheffield Wednesday, a Charlton, or dare I say Oxford, steal another player for his, and it doesn't quite work out, and he's maybe getting $2,000-$3,000 extra a week, that's a lot of money. But there's not many Scottish players that can say that they've played at a major tournament with Scotland. So that's a big consideration for him.
I think there's another thing to consider there, that the coverage, even to the extent of the championship down in England, I don't think it's got a great deal of coverage since the pandemic hit. But towards the back end of last season, there was a lot in the kind of promotion race with the likes of Leeds and West Brom, Brentford in the playoffs. But following that, I can't really think of any time where I've sat down and watched a game from the EFL. And I don't think that there's many of the lower league games being broadcast in Sky. It could be, you mentioned Oxford, and I think that's a kind of name that you quite often see popping up in Sky, and you would see the likes of Cannon and Rodriguez Gorin playing. I wonder when the last time they were on the television.
Exactly.
It's
a factor, though, that he's going to go down there, and I think at the end of the day, it's easy for us as fans to say, oh, I would stay at Motherwell if I was him, because we're Motherwell fans. But I'm not even saying that. I'm saying I would stay at Motherwell at him because I want to look back in 20 years' time and be a guy that's played with Scotland in a major tournament, one of the first players to do it, in probably some of our fans' lifetimes. And it'd be an amazing achievement for a local guy that's played with my wee boys' team, Wishy Wickham. I think it's a great story. But at the end of the day, money talks. But I hope football wins in this battle, and it gets to stay to the end of the season.
Yeah, I hope so. And to be honest, I don't think that this isn't one that I think that we'll lose much sleep over. I think that we'll be quite close to being able to sort something out here. I think there may be just a wee bit of not doubt. I'm pretty sure that everyone involved at the club is very confident that they can steer as well clear of relegation and any sort of battle at the bottom of the league. But even 5 or 6 weeks ago, not even as long as that, when we went out the cup, and I bemoaned the fact that was us out the cup. It was looking like a nothing season. We weren't going to push for Europe. We weren't going to be in any bother at the bottom. And then there's just wee bits of doubt creep in. Things like the possibility of St Mirren and Kilmarnock winning their appeals against the forfeit of the games, and then suddenly we've got two games to play, both away from home, that will be difficult. And if you don't pick up points from these games, as I said earlier, you're suddenly second bottom of the league, and the landscape is completely different. So I think that there might be a bit more of a necessity, if you know what I mean. I think that having a player like Stephen O'Donnell, while he's not a game-changing player, he's a very solid option and an experienced head that would help kind of guide the team through these nervy games, I'm still pretty confident that we can get points from these remaining games of the year. We can start the new year with a win at Aki's, and suddenly, again, the landscape's changed and you're actually looking towards a battle for the top six rather than anything involving relegation. But that's maybe get a wee bit ahead of ourselves. And
see just a point on this, these 6 points, right? Like, there is people saying, oh, Motherwell would be second bottom of the league if they get these 6 points taken off them. I wish they say that we weren't going to win the games anyway. You know what I mean? Aye. The 6 points on the taking off is a punishment. The 6 points are still there to be won. So we've still got potentially get two games in hand of the teams around about us. So that's me. Usually I'm the Grim Reaper on this and Mr. Negative, but Kilmarnock are on a downturn just now. They're going to be fighting for their lives. St. Mirren are going through a good spell. They'll quickly go through a bad spell. And we might just get them to play them at the right time when we're... So I'm not overly concerned about us losing these 6 points. See, at the end of the day, we're in a position just now. If we go and win a couple of these upcoming games that you've just discussed, then we'll be in a good place. I don't want to have a relegation battle. I would rather be mid-table, safe, without having to worry about relegation. Because this, for me, is probably one of the most important years that we don't get relegated due to what's going on, the financial state of play in the game. It would really cripple us if we ended up getting relegated. So it's important that a mid-table season might not be the most exciting season, but it's probably the most important for us not to go down, in my view.
Let's look at the game against Rangers at Ibrox. Callum Lang gets us ahead early on, and after that we very much tried to defend for our lives and hold on to that lead. We did so until round about the 70th minute mark. We'd eventually go on to lose the game 3-1. Pepe, I think that's a result that we'll look back on and go, well, we got out of Dodge with a fairly respectable scoreline. Rangers' third goal came in the 93rd or 94th minute. It didn't kind of destroy any sort of confidence going into these important run that I keep on referring to. So I think in the grand scheme of things, it's yes, we didn't deserve to get anything from the game. Yes, we were absolutely negative in our approach to the game, but that was a team that had beaten us 5-1 at Fir Park a couple of months previously when we did try and have a wee bit more of a go and a positive outlook towards the game. They've got a lot of quality. They've got a lot of goals in their team. In the end, I think it's just a case of the team with the bigger resources, the better resources, they came out on top.
I remember being at Ibrox and watching us getting hammered 7-1 on two separate occasions, and there's none worse being there as a fan watching Rangers run over the toppies the way they did. Now, at the end of the day, I was getting my Christmas haircut yesterday at Stuart's, and Stuart, he's a Motherwell fan of Barber, and he was like, I couldn't watch it. I was raging. I would rather get beat 7-7 than get beat with 3. And I said, how can you say that? At the end of the day, you've got the game plan nearly won. If we had followed that through with taking points off the Rangers, nobody would have mentioned the negative tactic. It would have been about Rangers' bubble being burst. We've got to play our strengths, and Rangers have been tearing teams apart. Did I enjoy the game? No, I didn't particularly enjoy it. But there was that wee bit of excitement where I thought, oh, we're going to hold on. It's always a concern when you're trying to defend for your life and you've got Big Beavis in the background waiting for his customary mistake, which did come. But I'm not going to dwell on, because I'm scared in case I meet Beavis one day and he's listening to this and he batters me. But listen, it wasn't an ideal performance. We've already, as you say, been hammered 5-1 at home, and we did try to have a wee go. And you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If we'd went out there and tried to go for it and then got hammered 7-8, look what happened to Hamilton Accies. You know what I mean? It was an absolute mauling. That does more to the confidence of the players than what a 3-1, as you say. But the players at least have some positivity coming away from it. I wasn't overly negative. I didn't enjoy it, but I wanted me to do it again. I want us to win every game we play. And by whatever means that is possible, if the manager thought that that was going to be the best way, then that's the way that we play. As you said, that there is a massive gulf. Let's not forget, Rangers have look at the European teams that they're playing. They're absolutely flying. They're playing with confidence. If we'd went all out attack, it could have been an absolute mauling. And we come away with a result that is more manageable. It doesn't stick you into that deep depression on the Saturday. It was just the performance. I was maybe a bit more positive because my other team, Liverpool, had once convincingly earlier on in the day. But listen, I've seen worse performances at Ibrox, just maybe not as negative.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair assessment. Good that you managed to get a shout out for your barber involved in that point as well. That was marketing 101 there.
No. He was actually annoyed me yesterday. That's the reason why, because he was saying that I was a happy clapper, basically. And I said, look, I'm not. I was annoyed by it because I was trying to say he couldn't comprehend that I didn't enjoy the game, but I wasn't overly bothered that we tried to play the game in that way. And I don't think he could see how the two, and I think a lot of people are seeing that. I was getting stats flung at me yesterday about it must be a world record that a team, you must be embarrassed that Motherwell had, Rangers had 82% possession. And I'm saying, but the most important stats were the goals. For 70 minutes, for the majority of the game, we were the ones that were in front. That's the most important stat. So I was getting a wee bit annoyed with him more than anything else. So that's why he's, if you've seen my hair, even in the plugs, it's defluffing. I don't really get, you see a barber, to be honest.
The thing is as well, you look at results like Mackie's result at Ibrox, I would say that's more embarrassing than going there, not having very much of the ball and getting beat 3-1. So you've got to kind of marry up all the points here and kind of assess the fact that Rangers are destroying teams on the regular. I heard the radio yesterday and they were talking about the St Johnston Rangers game. Now, I've not actually seen the highlights. Sportsman was on too late for me last night. But they talked about the fact that St Johnston had a few chances when they were 3-0 down. You can kind of... The shackles can come off at 3-0 down and you can maybe have a wee bit of a go at them. Rangers were possibly going through the gears or coming down the gears anyway, just to kind of ease off. They've got a couple of big games coming up as well. So they're not going to be going hell for leather at 3-0 up when they've got a game on Boxing Day, they've got a game in the 30th, they've got an Old Firm game in the new year. So I think just all things considered, and to be honest, all I saw before that game was, oh, this is going to be so embarrassing. We're going to lose 10. We're going to lose. This could be a record. So then you come away with a 3-1 defeat, and our own fans are still slating us. So I can understand why those involved at the club, read social media, must go, well, what the hell are we meant to do here? We literally cannot win. And yes, it would be very easy for someone to listen to this and point out, well, Andy, we didn't win. Yes, I'm aware of that. But at the same time, we came away with a respectable scoreline, a fairly respectable performance in the sense that we were well organised, we were disciplined for the best part of the game. Fatigue kicked in as well. There was players there that were running themselves completely into the ground. Stephen Robinson had spoken before the game. He definitely had a game plan. The game plan was to sit in, it was to frustrate them. And I think for the best part, we did that. Yes, we didn't win the game, but I think that to base criticism on previous games on that particular game isn't fair. We had lost to St Johnston and St Mirren and Hibs previously. These games much more annoying and much more frustrating because these are teams that you feel that you could get the measure of, that if you played to your strengths and actually let your good players get on the ball, we could go at them and we could punish them. With Rangers, it's not going to happen. We got that one chance, a great ball from Stephen O'Donnell. We did show that we've got the capability to mix it up against a very good team. But at the end of the day, you're going to lose that game 99 times out of 100. And we're heading for that record against Rangers and Celtic in the league, to be honest. But, yeah, I think... I think my point is that I can't believe that even we've sat and talked about this for 10 minutes, because normally it's a game that you just brush over. You're expected to get nothing and you normally get nothing and you move on to the next one. You don't want to lose 6 or 7 like you mentioned, and we have done, and we did right before a busy run a couple of years ago where we lost 7-1 at Ibrox, and then, if I recall, we then went on to lose in Boxing Day to Kilmarnock, and we were in a really sticky spot. And in fact, the win against Accies really kind of turned our season a wee bit. But until that point, we were looking in real threat of relegation. So, yeah, that can spark a really negative run of results, going there and having your confidence completely destroyed.
I think another thing that the negative, basically, the fans and media alike, was that St Mirren had went into a good performance against Rangers through the week, and why didn't you do what St Mirren did, have a goal? It's a different game. It was a cup game.
St Mirren also didn't have a goal. In terms of they had a goal late on.
Aye.
But
you can afford to do that in a cup game. You know what I mean?
Rangers dominated and got 1-0 up. They were looking very much in control, and then St Mirren did work their way back into the game at the start of the second half, get battered until the final minute. It went 2-2. And then as Rangers were going hell for leather to try and win 3-2, that's the second time I've said hell for leather in this podcast, and got a win on injury time. But again, what you're saying is completely right as well, is don't treat every game as the same. Like, the circumstances and everything else are completely different in that game. And you can be absolutely guaranteed as well that we would be celebrating this well beyond Christmas and the New Year if we had went and beaten Rangers at Ibrox, even by deploying these tactics. We're only being so negative, or people are only being so negative about them now because of the end result. But I know the games don't last 70 minutes, but I think for the best part of the game it worked. And I think I kind of respect the way that Stephen Robinson went about it. I don't think it was pretty in the eye, but I think you've got to kind of use the tools that you're given. And we're bringing up a water pistol to a gunfight when we come up against Rangers.
Nobody enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy the game at all. But sometimes football, as I've already said, it's about getting the results. And we were close to getting it. As I said, don't want to see us going against Dundee United with the same formation. But you only play with something in front of you. Do you know what I mean? It's like, for example, when Scotland go to play San Marino, that's how San Marino set up. And I'm not complaining Motherwell to that. You've got to know who you're playing. Rangers are flying, and Robinson knew about the strength of the team. It nearly worked, but we'll move on for it, and that's it.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. Now, I said we would treat each game in isolation. We are going on a wee bit here, but the St Mirren game, I think the biggest point about this is it's another home defeat. Now, St Mirren have been in a good run of form. Losing last night was their first defeat in, I think it was 9 games. So they've certainly been doing very well. We conceded an early goal. We just never found our way back into the match. And I can remember actually looking at the clock and thinking, how have we managed to get to 80 minutes? There's just nothing really happening. St Mirren were quite dogged and well organised, but we just didn't have any creative nous or spark to get through them. And I think St Mirren went away kind of wondering why the onslaught that they would have normally got when you're winning 1-0 away didn't come. That, I talked about confidence, and I think that's just a demonstration of the fact that there's a couple of players in our team just now, or maybe the squad as a collective, just aren't feeling it the same way as they were during that run in late October, where we looked like everything was coming together quite nicely and the early season criticism hadn't been merited.
See, if you look at the St Mirren game, right, firstly, compared against Rangers, if you look at, when you get the fixture list that comes out at the start of the season, you go through it all, and I certainly do, and I say, right, that's, try and predict what you think the game's going to be. if you were given a chance to pick out three or four games when you're at home at a season, you say that's a stick on home win, that's a stick on away defeat, you'd pick Rangers as an away defeat, but you would 100% say we'll definitely beat St Mirren at home. And we just didn't look like that at all. And that is, I was more concerned about getting beat by St Mirren at home in the way that we did without creating too much than what I was with the performance against Rangers. That is our bread and butter. That's who we need to concentrate beating. And I would go as far to say a team like St Mirren, home and away. St Mirren are a yo-yo club. Either had some good youth products that's come through, but they just seem to always be able to get under our skin for some reason. But as I've said, every single game, it's almost like a repeat. We never seem, as you say, you get to 80 minutes and you think to yourself, when was the last time you had a shot? When was the last time you looked like scoring? In saying that, I can remember at the start of the season and we were discussing that our strikers weren't contributing, we weren't creating anything. Then we went through that spell in Aberdeen with Livingston performances, Ross County, where everything looked rosy in the garden and we were shooting up the table. So it doesn't, it is fine margins. Robinson likes to talk about looking at games in blocks. So if we look at the next block, all of these games, in my opinion, are winnable. Unfortunately, the St Mirren game would have come into the there's no way that we should be getting beat at home to St Mirren in that way without even creating much. So that's what really, really, really disappointed me. When you look back at a season and you look at the points you lose at home to the likes of a game like that, that defines where you're going to finish in the season. No, a performance of what we just discussed there at Ibrox.
Yeah, I completely agree, and we can now look ahead to these three games. Say, start with Dundee United on Boxing Day, then a home fixture 4 days later against Kilmarnock on the 30th of December, and then Aki's in the new year to start the new year on the 2nd of January. You mentioned the fact that you view all these games as winnable. I kind of tend to do a very similar thing. I'll kind of look at the games. As I said last night, I'd been delighted with a point, so we've ticked a box there. I would say the same with Tannadice. Kelly and Aki's, what do we reckon there? Should we be taking 3 points from both these games? I listened to Brian Rice on the radio after their defeat against Livingston last night, and genuinely it was almost kind of harrowing, the interview, to be honest. He sounded very, very crestfallen. He's having a lot of problems with the squad in terms of injuries. He was without 9 yesterday. He's lost members of his coaching staff to COVID as well just now. So he's not got his problems to seek. Aki's, I've got a real habit of just pulling a result out of the bag when least expected, just to keep their heads above the water. They did that against Ross County, but kind of gone back to type and losing at home to Livingston. That would have been a big blow to them. And they've now got Celtic to come up against on Boxing Day. I think we should be really, really viewing that as an away win. The Kilmarnock game for me is a big one as well, because it's been so long since we've recorded a home victory. The 4-0 win against Ross County seems like a forever ago, to be honest with you.
No, it does. I think when you look at Tannadice, if I'm honest, I'm saying they are winnable games. You would be accepting coming away for Tannadice with a draw. But I think with the position that we're in the form, it would just be perfect if we got off the ground running a victory. Personally, I would think we'll probably come away with that with a draw. Kilmarnock look as if they're in free fall, and I'm, again, it's just the way that I am, but I always think when Motherwell play a team that's desperate for a win, where's the best place to come and get it? For partner, that's just a negative chain of thought. But look at them, they're in free fall. I think their fans are shouting for their manager, and they're looking to get Gary Holt put in and stuff like that. So we never know. You just need to wait and see it. I'd be, as you say, I mean, going back to Ross County was our last home victory. I mean, that's a fair amount of time to go. We've already discussed the Fir Park used to be a place that people would come in dread almost, but it doesn't seem to be that way. We need to get that momentum back. We need to get that. If we get a point against Dundee United, as a minimum, you've got to go and look at these next two games as being, I hate to say must win, but really, if we don't get something out of all three of these games, I'd be disappointed that out of the three games that we've just mentioned, that we don't get a kind of 7 points, so a draw and two victories, at the very minimum, 5 points, two draws and a win. I think we've got to start looking forward. There just seems to be no creativity on the pitch. I don't know how that changes. That's my only concern. In saying that, I still think we've got enough innings to beat Kilmarnock and Aki's. Dundee United, difficult going up to Tannadice. They seem to have had a good bit of form. But let's be positive. I really do think, as I said, I think we'll get 7 points out of the next three games and we can look forward to mid-table battles rather than looking down the way.
Yeah, I very much hope so, mate. Now, of course, just before we finish up, it has been a exceptionally difficult 2020 for so many people. I appreciate that the Christmas has now been turned on its head somewhat as well with the restrictions in place and heading towards Tier 4 yet again from Boxing Day. That being said, we'd like to wish you all, everyone that listens, contributes to the podcast, the staff and players at the football club as well, a fantastic Christmas and all the best in 2021. We hope to be back following one of the games over the break. I don't know how many of you have got a break or whether it feels like a break, considering most of us have been in the house for the majority of the last 9 months now. But we will be back and hopefully with a bit more cheer in terms of results as well. It's always quite difficult recording a podcast on the back of a run of negative results, and you don't want to be hypercritical in a time, as I say, where things are obviously in the world are as bad as they are, maybe moaning about Motherwell losing to St Mirren or being a bit defensive against Rangers doesn't really sound appropriate, but that's what we're here to do, and that has been very enjoyable, Scott. I wish you and your family a fantastic Christmas as well, and thanks very much for coming on today.
No, thanks very much, Andy. I've really, really enjoyed it. And just a point on that, I mean, I think I think it shows you how important football is. Although we're not there, still even doing things like this, it takes your mind off it, and it's just great having the football there, whether it puts you in a downer or whether you get that great victory. But I just like to echo everything you're saying. Hope everybody has a good, healthy Christmas.
You've been listening to the MSC Podcast. We'll be back, hopefully following the Kilmarnock game. Until then, thank you. Goodbye. So hot.